I have never been to a family reunion. They have them on my mother's side, but I don't think I know anyone there, so I've never gone. On my father's side, they never had one. I've asked the purpose of a family reunion. What is the reason to go? And I had just sort of figured out myself there are at least four reasons that people have family reunions. One is the excuse to get out of town. That may be one of the reasons. Others, it's an opportunity to stir up memories of the past. Others, it's a time to enjoy some real good food. To others, it's a chance to find out what's going on within the family clan since the last time they met. I guess there are other reasons, but those are good reasons to go to a family reunion. And let's suppose that you went to one this morning and you have moved away from home. And you had not seen your family, your immediate family, mom and dad, for a year. And so you go to the family reunion, go back home. And your mother walks up to you and she says, "Hello there, do you remember me?" You probably say, "What's wrong with you? Why do you ask that? You're my mother. Sure I remember you." No. What I'm saying is, do you remember me when we're apart? Do you think about me? And that's a little bit different question. "Well, yeah, I think about you, Mom." "Well, how often do you think about me?" "Well, I don't know. I don't keep records and write down, well, I thought about Mom today and check it off." "Well, do you do it very often?" "Well, Mom, you sure are getting pushy, you know." "Well, how often do you remember me every day?" And, "Well," you say, "well, to be honest, I guess only when I see someone that reminds me of you, or when I see something that reminds me of home, or when I have money problems, I think about you, or when I have some other kind of problem, I think about you, or when it's your birthday, I think about you. But I'll be honest, if something doesn't stir my memory, I don't think about you." I don't know whether that would be upsetting to you as a mother or not, but that's probably the honest truth. Well, let's take our family reunion a little bit closer to home. And say you drove to the family reunion with your wife, and she gets out of the car and walks around to your side, and she says to you, the husband, "Hi there, do you remember me?" And he'd say, "Well, I don't know what's happened to you, but of course, I'm Mr. Sam Jones, and you're Mrs. Sam Jones, and these two little Joneses here are our children." To me, that's a stupid question, honey. "No, I mean, do you remember me when we're apart?" "Well, sure I do. Sure, many, many times a day I remember you." "Well, what is it that you remember when you remember me during the day?" Probably getting frustrated, Mr. Jones would say, "Well, what is it you'd like for me to remember? What is there about you that you want me to remember every day? You must have something on your mind." Here's her answer. I don't think you're prepared for it. "Here's what I want you to remember. I love you." You remember that one, were you? "That's all I want you to remember. Nothing else about me. I love you. That's all." Now, it dawned on me as I wrote this message that we this morning are in a family reunion. Are we not? We're family. We're in a real sense brothers and sisters. And sometimes you may say this is sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so. And you're really not related blood. But I mean, we consider ourselves a family because of our relationship to Christ. And you can walk up to anyone here this morning in this service and say, "Hi there, do you remember me?" And they say, "Sure. Yeah, I know who you are." You say, no, "do you think about me when we're apart?" And you probably say, "Well, not unless I see you in the store do I think about you, or not unless I drive by your house do I think about you, or not unless somebody brings up your name do I think about you, or maybe somebody asks for special prayer for you. Otherwise, you know, I don't remember you." That's the honest truth. But what is it about you that you think I'll remember? If you think I should remember you when we're apart, I mean, what is it that you want me to remember? And I think the answer Could be the same thing. I love you. That's all. Just remember when we're apart that I love you. Now let's take our reunion one more step and imagine that Jesus would become visible this morning and walk up to you. He said, "Hi there." I don't know where he'd say that. I'm not. He'll say, "Hi there. Do you remember me?" And you say, "Sure. You're the fragrant rose. You're the gentle lamb. You're the perfect man. You're the Lord God Almighty. Sure, I remember you." No, I mean, do you remember me when we're apart, when I am not so visible to you? And you say, "Oh, there's not a day passes that I don't remember you. I think about you when I pray. And if I have a problem, I think about you. And if I have to face danger, I think about you. And if I need some guidance, I think about you. And if I get upset or worried, I think about you. Even if I do something wrong, I think about you." And Jesus say, "Well, is that all you think about? Is that all you think about? Well, you're wise and you're generous and you're powerful and you're forgiving and you're holy. I think about things like that. What is it, Jesus, that you'd like for me to think about you? What is it that you'd like for me to remember?" Now go to the book of Luke. Go to the book of Luke, chapter 22, verse 7. Got a lot to read. The day of unleavened bread came, which is the Passover. And Jesus sent Peter and John and said, "Go and prepare for me the Passover meal, and there we will eat." And they said, "Where will we prepare?" And he said, "Behold, when you come into a certain city, a man will meet you. He'll have a pitcher of water in his hand, and you just follow him to his house. And you say to him, 'Sir, the master says to me, where is your guest chamber? For I will eat my Passover there with my disciples.' And that man will show you a large upper room which will be furnished, and there make ready." And they went and found just as he had said, and they made ready for the Passover. And the hour was come, he sat down, the 12 apostles with him, and he said, "I have desired to eat this Passover before I suffer. For I say I will not eat any more until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." He took the cup, he gave thanks, and he said, "Take this, and divide it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the vine until the kingdom of God should come." He took the bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. And notice, do this in remembrance of me." After going through the entire Lord's Supper, he says, "Now I want you to remember me. And he shall show you a large room furnished." Now there was in that room some furniture. Although we're not definitely told, I believe one of the items there would have to have been a table. A table was set with nothing on it but the fruit of the vine and some bread. But that was a strange statement to say to them, "Now remember me." They had been with him almost continually 3 years. How could they forget him? I mean, they were around him all the time. But now he was about to leave. He would not be with them anymore. And while apart, he said, "Now I want you to remember me." Remember what? It is again, "I love you." How many times do you remember that about God? "I love you." I don't think this announcement thrills us like it should. The other day, for the first time, I had a person ask me to show them in the Bible a verse that said God still loved them after they had neglected him, after they had rebelled against him, after they had broken his commandments, after they had taken his favors and used them against him. Where did the Bible say that God still loved them like he once did? Peter would soon deny Jesus. Would Jesus still love Peter as much as he did? Judas would soon deny Jesus, really betray him. Did Jesus stop loving Judas? Would he love him again, ever? What if Jesus had I been approached by Judas and said, Jesus, I'm sorry, forgive me. Would Jesus ever love Judas again as much as he did had he not betrayed him? Does the love of God for you and me rise and fall? I love the Lord maybe less today than I loved him yesterday. But is it possible he would love me less today than he loved me yesterday? I don't know about your answer. Jesus said as he gave the cup, remember me now. Remember what? That I love you. That would be great news to Peter. I love you. I want to say this, and I hope you understand, there is absolutely nothing that I can find in the Bible that I could tell this person God still loves them. I couldn't find a verse that God still loves them. And that bothered me. Because as I said, I'm the kind of person who says, quote me a Bible verse to back it up. And I don't have a Bible verse to back it up. And I was concerned. And the Lord's Supper is my Bible verse. Remember me, Jesus said. Remember, I love you. That's the Bible verse. Only one I know it. It's a good one, though. But the love of God is unconditional. His love is based on his desire and not on my worthiness. There is nothing we can say, and there is nothing we can think, and there is nothing we can do that will ever affect God's love for us. I want to say it again. There is nothing I can do, good or bad. There is nothing I can say, right or wrong. There is nothing that I can think that will in any way affect God's love for me. His love is unconditional. Jeremiah 31:3. Let me show you something. Jeremiah 31:3. Children sometimes are told, well, if you're not good, mama won't love you. And we carry that concept over to God. I don't care how bad you are, God will love you. I don't care how disappointed God is in you, he'll love you. See, yeah, but not as much. As much as he ever loved you, he'll always love you. You cannot change the love of God for you no matter what you do. It cannot be done. It's one of those impossibilities. Because God's love is based on desire. He desires to love me, period. There are no conditions to his love for me. Jeremiah 31:3. The last part of the verse is, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Everlasting love. You know what that means? God loved us before we were born. And there was no reason to love me before I was born. Because I was born a sinner. I was born lost. I was born, in a sense, a child of the devil. I was born to do evil in his sight. There was no reason for him to love me. Or anybody else, because we're all born to lie. Say, well, yeah, but now that you're a child of his, he loves you more. No. No. God does not love me one ounce more today than he loved me before I was born in my mother's womb. Love is not based on relationship. Love is based on desire. And it's God's desire to love me and love me with an everlasting love that neither rises nor falls no matter what is done. We call that grace by term. God's love is based simply on desire. There are no conditions to God's love. None. Absolutely none. When you look at the cup, you look at the bread, Jesus says, I love you. Who was he saying this to? Lost people who needed him to save them. For God so loved the world. God loves the world as much as he loves me, and me as much as he loves the world. This doesn't sound right to us, but that's the way God is. I cannot alter God's love for me no matter what I do. I'll say this, God's love can do more for me being saved and if I am obedient. God's love can do more for me if I love him. He won't love me more, but his love can do more for me. I could love my child 100%. And my child do something displeases me, my love does not go down to 85%. My love can stay at 100%, but I can stop doing some things for my boy until he corrects himself or girl. My love has not changed, but what my love will do for my child has changed. And sometimes we get awful confused there. And we think the love level goes down according to what somebody does. Well, if you love me, you would do this. Oh, no. Love does from God what's only right. But he never stops loving you. You just block the love of God, but his love does not go down for you no matter what you do. If I repent, he won't love me more, but he can do more for me. He can give me more, but he will never love me more. My performance record has absolutely nothing to do with those three words, I love you. I don't care what you do, I love you. You can hang me on the cross, drive nails through my hands and feet, and you cannot stop me from loving you 100%. See, well, you don't deserve it. That has nothing to do with it. And so when you ask the question, well, will God love me if I do wrong? Sure. He loves everybody as much as he loves you. The worst, vilest, ungodly sinner, the Saul that killed the Christians, God loved Saul as much as he loved the Christians that were killed. Because it's not based on merit, it's based on desire. He can never love me more than he loves you. I couldn't convince that person of that, but it's true, people. God cannot love you more than he loves me. Now, he can do more maybe for you if you'll let him. If you will obey him, if you will walk with him, if you will serve him, he may do more for you, but he will never love you more than me, nor me more than you. He never will. That may not be good news for you. I don't know. It is for me. There's nothing I can do to block the love of God. There is much I can do to block the benefits of the love of God. There is a difference. I think it's right to be ashamed of what we have done that is evil. I think it's right to feel bad about ourselves when we've done wrong. I think it's right to feel ashamed of ourselves and when we have treated God badly, neglected him and disobeyed him. But there's no reason to ever fear coming to him because you don't think he loves you anymore, or he doesn't want you anymore, or he won't take you back anymore, or he won't care about you anymore as much as he once did. He has no black sheep. Never feel the same towards you again. That's wrong. God feels the same towards you today as he will tomorrow. And if you do wrong, don't feel ashamed to come back. Don't say, well, I've just gone too far. No, he won't. I love you. If he loves you the same today as he'll ever love you, there's no reason not to come back. That's more the reason. He won't shame you. He won't reject you. He won't say, well, now you're going to be a second-rate child of mine. I'll never trust you again. I love you. What is there about the Lord's Supper? I tell you, it makes it a lot easier coming to him to repent if you know he loves you. If I ever got the idea that he didn't love me, I don't think I'd come back to repent. I just couldn't come back. I couldn't face him if he wouldn't love me again. But knowing that he loves me, it makes it easy to come back to him and repent. And that's the problem this person was having. He won't take me back. I tell you, if he'll take you when you're in sin, and that's what the Lord's Supper says, he takes you when you're a sinner and saves you, he loves you. I mean, no greater love hath any man than to lay in his life. And God says, I can't love you any more than that. And as much as he loves the sinner, he keeps on loving me. Even if I fall back into sin, don't hesitate to come back to him thinking he won't love you. Do this in remembrance of me. He loves you. He loves me. And he'll love you 100% every day. No matter how badly you treat him or how well you serve him, he'll love you 100%. Don't get confused now. His love can't benefit you 100% if you sin against him and go against him. But he never stops loving you. He never feels bad about you. He never belittles you. And he never says, well, I've got a lot better children than you, and I love them a lot better. That's just not true. That's just not true. The Lord's love says to me, I am loved and you are loved equally, always, with an everlasting love. Father, we're thankful this day. As we remember all the things the Bible can say about you, all your attributes, we are especially pleased this day to be able to say that we remember you love us. Even when we have done the worst, you have not stopped loving us. And we're thankful for that knowledge. It is encouraging to know that we can come back and find as much love for us as we've always had. And we're thankful it's not based on merit, but it's based on desire from your heart. Again, we appreciate the love you have for us. May we never forget that you love us. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.